Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Tiff Randall, whose new album, Legacy, under the I Am Eve moniker, is out May 15th. Randall is a composer, producer, songwriter, and performer whose works span film, television, and of course, her own recorded output. We discussed her approach to making music, the growing role of women in the world of recording engineering, and Randall's nonprofit, Mamas in Music, which provides global support for mothers in the music industry. That's Tiff Randall of I Am Eve on Into Music, coming up now. Are you kind of always writing, or is there like a period of time where you say, you know, I think it's time to make a new album, I'm going to sit down and write, and then do you kind of come at it with, well, here's something I might want to explore lyrically or musically, or do you just kind of let it happen and see where it goes?
I feel like a yo-yo in life. I don't know that I'm like always doing anything. I try to always be writing and always in the studio. But yeah, it's kind of, I kind of go through these phases where I'm like really, you know, in super creative mode, and then, you know, I don't know if I just go into autistic burnout or what it is, but then I'm like, I'm down for the count for a little while, and then I come back up or air and jump into something else. You know, I also, I do compartmentalize in a weird way, like different areas that I like to be kind of self-expressed in different ways. So like this album, which is an I Am Eve album, it's one of my projects, is called Legacy. And this one I've been working on pieces of it for quite a while in different iterations. You know, there are albums where I go into just like a mode and I'm like, I had an album called Isolation, my solo project that I did during the pandemic. And it was a very isolated time project, and had its own process, specifically like kind of carved together all at one time. But this one has been, I mean, all the songs and pieces on this one are very connected to similar themes of, you know, I think that are pretty relative to our current state of world, as well as paralleling certain states of kind of collapse and survival and things in like my personal experiences as well. But yeah, like the songs have all been kind of written at like little different moments of time and, you know, kind of coming together, where like I've been working on the production and pieces of it. I don't know. I've been taking my time with this one. There's a lot of layers and pieces, and I really wanted to take my time with this one, like kind of fawn over every tiny little sound and where it sits in the soundscape. And it's been one of those things that I've just, I think, picked over and fawned over to no end until it comes out, really. I'll probably still be picking at little things going like, can we remaster this one last time?
I love the way that you have just your voice, the human voice, intersecting with this technology. And it's one of those things where I think, like, you know, technology, when it sort of enhances or coexists beautifully with like the human element, it's so wonderful in music. And so I wondered about, like, there are, as you said, these kind of layers, and so I wonder, like, in the process of writing, do you sometimes kind of start with the instrumentation or like a sound, maybe even like an abstract kind of sound, and then build up from there? Or is it more like, here's a lyrical concept and let's see where that goes?
Yeah, it happens both ways. So with one of the songs that I love on, it's actually one of the ones that has one of the more simpler. A lot of these songs in this album have, like, my mixer was like, you have 8 basses on the song. What am I supposed to do with it? this song Desire is kind of a bit simpler, and I love this track. And that track started really with this bass line and these synths. And I just was, kind of putting it on repeat and starting to just, sing some little sounds and pieces over it, get like musical blabbings basically with my voice and layering things and kind of playing around with vocal effects while I'm just kind of letting the sound come out of my voice and capturing it. And that ended up just coming together actually really quickly, and the lyrics just started coming out as well. It's kind of like the music wanted this specific, lyrical train to come out of it. And so I just, that's an example of like one of the tracks, whereas another one that's called Stardust Apocalypse, I wrote all those lyrics. Like, I woke up one night at like 4 in the morning, and I just remember like shooting up out of bed and like being like, I need to write something down. And I literally like just grabbed my iPhone notes and just quickly just started writing. And I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, wow, those are intense lyrics, and then I fell back to sleep and then worked for ages and different iterations on putting that song together. Like, I think I've produced like 3 or 4 different versions of that song before finally getting to this one that we're finishing. So it happens different ways.
Wow. So it sounds like you do kind of this thing with a lot of kind of exploration and choices. And what if we do this, that question of what if in the process?
Yeah, I've found over, so it's interesting, but like if I look back at my musical path or whatever, it's I feel like for a long time I was trying to do things the right way, and I was trying to find like, this is how you write a song structure, this is how you produce a chorus and a verse and and how you build in a pre-chorus, and I think those things certainly have like stuck with me. They're it's kind of like the bed that I learned on, but I feel like an interesting thing has just happened to me in the last years, probably since becoming a mother, like where I started to let go a lot of those constraints and just go like, yeah, you know what? I remember listening to this. I was listening to, I'm trying to remember the name of the woman who was talking about something called the female gaze and like the, storytelling through the male gaze versus the female gaze. And I remember like, that really stuck with me. And I thought a lot about my own path in writing, producing, and even just like being in general in the world, but how that was kind of having me influencing my choices as a producer and artist, and going like, huh, if I were, thinking about, producing from like the female gaze, really like emotional and just thinking about things differently without like constructs and, certain expectations. And it was just all kind of from a state of flow. What would that look like for me if I wasn't going like A, B, A, B, C, or, you need guitars in the chorus. And if I wasn't thinking linear about things, what would that sound like? What would that be like for me as an experience? I think I've been leaning into that, and it's been really amazing because I try not to come to things with, unless it's like a brief for something specific, like if I were like composing something for a score or something like that, then I would, there would be a direction. It would be a different thing. But when I'm like doing my own art and my own work, like I'm really trying to just let the piece talk, whether that's, the percussion sounds that come up or the lyrics that come up and even the structure of the piece itself.
So I'm a big believer, right, in like you have to learn the rules before you break them. But then once you get to that point and you realize that when you have those deviations and it's like, okay, I don't have to have like an A-B structure. I can have A-B-C, whatever. and you get those deviations and you start to realize like how much art is built on that moment where somebody goes, nah, I'm going to draw the line this way. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so much more fun that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. That has to be, again, you know, just sort of liberating for you because it's like, okay, now there are these choices I didn't know existed.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity to like constantly bring just playfulness and curiosity to things and, you know, to learn every time. Like I never know. When I was mixing one of the tracks the other day, my mixer was like, I don't understand how you do all of these different things in these tracks, weird stuff in there. And I was like, yeah, me neither. He's like, how did you do this? I was like, I don't remember. in a weird way, I envied for a long time a lot of the, because, you know, I worked with a lot of producers before I started kind of just stepping in and taking ownership of my own production. And I envied the way that, you know, like they could kind of roll up templates and have stuff sound great right away. I was like, God, that's so efficient and takes me forever, you know, just to get something sounding. I've gotten quicker now, but like, you know, for a long time, that was my experience of it. And I was like, I'm so jealous. I wish I could do that. You know, and then I tried it and I was like, every time I work on a project, I try to bring up a template from something and I always end up scrapping it because I actually just really can't stand it. But it's interesting to you can look at how other people are doing things and being so productive and then that's just not the way it works for you. That's what I found for myself anyway.
Yeah, yeah. In whatever I do creatively, whatever it is, I'm like it's such a messy process for me. It's like I have to dig and dig and dig before I really find what it is I'm, you know, what the core of the idea I have actually is, yeah, as opposed to what it presented as.
Yeah. It's like the creative chaos.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of like the finishing of things is actually just finding like things you're willing to throw out.
You have engineering in your background and writing and everything. So, and I think you kind of touched on this. So it sounds like getting an interest in or having an interest in putting things down, that was as much about expressing the music as it was just getting good sounds. It's like if you can do this, then that only enhances, let's say, the composition or something.
Yeah. You know, then I didn't, you know, I didn't grow up with like a lot of music, you know, technical music studies in my background. I didn't even recognize like when I was growing up, because I lived, you know, I grew up in the country and like I didn't recognize that you could even have a career as a songwriter or a composer or a producer or anything like that. It just kind of, yeah, it just didn't even know it. And then when I moved to New York City, when I was like 17 and I went to NYU, like I went for classical voice because, you know, I was always doing voice and performance. And then I realized, I was like, this is, why am I getting a degree for that? I already do that. So I was like, I should probably do something that kind of pushes me to be able to express myself more. So I switched over to audio engineering and, you know, started to get my hands into those things. I didn't see like a lot of examples of people who are actually, there was like two people that were females in our, in that like audio engineering program. And I still didn't see a lot of examples of that as like a career choice per se. So I guess I stayed with performing and writing and, you know, what seemed to be like a more obvious career path. And I didn't really dig in on the production as much as I should have. I continued to be like, oh, I think I need a producer who can, you know, work with me for a long time. And then, you know, but I was never really happy with anything that I did. I think over time, I just continued to kind of work on honing those skills and coming back to, but I think if I were doing it, I would do it this way. I didn't necessarily have the resources to do things that I wanted to. So I felt like I was a lot of times like sacrificing in, you know, just to get things done and get things out there. And then, you know, like more in the more, I guess the last few albums that I've done from like I Am Eve and my solo work has been different. Cause I finally like really stepped away from leaning on another producer and just going like, actually, no, I think I can do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to really like step into owning that, you know, that I have the skill sets and tools to produce, because I everything I put out before that had somebody else producing it felt maybe a little like dishonest. And I think that's a thing for me that I've realized is that for me, the production piece of it is so integral to my voice, you know, like all those, you know, little layers of sound and everything that go into things. They're part of the story and the voice and the way that I communicate.
I'm interested in what you said about, you know, there being so few people who were female in engineering. And I've loved to see that change over time, where now we have more women who are producers and engineers and so forth, and even techs for bands. And it's sort of one of those things where I'm like, you know, sometimes, you know, if I'm choosing a doctor, right, there are some times where I feel more comfortable going to a woman who is a doctor. And why couldn't I have that choice if I were a musician as a producer? You know, that maybe it's the right choice to use a woman on this project as opposed to a man.
Yeah, no, it kind of goes back to that conversation, like, you know, that I had, you know, heard about the male gaze versus the female gaze. You know, I think there's just like different touch points of like, you know, how we might go about a certain process, whether it's creatively or just in the world in general.
Well, that's amazing. I'm glad that has happened and is helping shape your art. And I'm also curious that you've founded this organization for musicians who are mothers. Can you talk
yeah.
a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's called Mamas in Music. So in 2018, when I had my child, I was looking for a group or community. Like, you know, there's when you have a baby and you go through all these changes, you really need to connect with others that are in that same headspace of like postpartum and all the stuff. And the music industry specifically also is just really its own animal. So I was looking for women going through that with the music industry in the background. And, you know, and I found it didn't exist. That bothered me. and so I just started reaching out to women and, you know, different like women's industry groups, and connected with me with my co-founder in the UK, Mary Lay. And we launched it in 2019. We started just, you know, messaging out, and like, we really wanted to just connect and feel seen, connected, like, with others going through things. And then we also really wanted to kind of rail a bit against a lot of the stigmas that you go through, stigmas that industry has, and find a way to, you know, collectively come together to, you know, bring resources and opportunities and supports to each other. And we have like amazing women around the globe who are part of this organization, who've become friends and have done things like, you know, bring opportunities in for other women in the group. And we have amazing events and speakers, and you know, it's just been kind of jumping off, and it's been really amazing. It's been a lot of work. But it's been I'm trying to find my way with that one. It's funny because we started it going like, we want to start an organization community that's like helps mothers like figure out how to balance their work and their careers and motherhood and, you know, supports. Right. And so in many ways it has opened up conversations around that and provided that, but my God, I'm definitely working a lot of more hours maybe than it's one of those bittersweet, beautiful things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just overall, I think it's great that of late it appears that within the music community, people are striving to communicate more both internally and externally about the challenges that they face, whether it's parenting or mental health or even physical health.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of things opening up in that area. Like, people recognize that this industry is not an industry that has had well-being at the forefront, and that's problematic. And probably a big piece of that is just, you know, the clear collapse of the industry and people going, oh, wait a minute. You know, people need a lot of support with the changes happening in the industry and our world and the uncertainty of all the things. And, you know, this is the time when leaning in together and holding space and community is more vital than ever.
You've been listening to a conversation with Tiff Randall. Tiff Randall's new album, Legacy, under the I Am Eve moniker, is out May 15th. You can learn more about Randall at her official website, tiffrandall.com. That's R-A-N-D-O-L. And more about Mamas in Music at mamasinmusic.org. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. And find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.